Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Money Talking from WNYC. I'm Charlie Herman. We've all been there. You need to have a conversation with a coworker or your boss, and you are just dreading having it. So what do? You put it off. Maybe you hope that the problem just goes away, or that you forget about it entirely, or at the very least, it's an issue that just doesn't bother you as much. But usually, that's not what happens. It just hangs over you. Well, fear not, because today, you're going to learn how to handle those difficult conversations, or at least the process for how to start having these talks when you really don't want to have them. And with me is Karen Dillon. She's the former editor of the Harvard Business Review and the co-author with Clayton Christensen and James Allworth of How Will You Measure Your Life? She's also the author of the Harvard Business Review article, How to Handle Three Types of Difficult Conversations. And Karen, I have to start off and ask, only three?
There are many, many more. I just picked three that I thought a lot of people would relate to. We all have difficult conversations every single day in our workplace and in our lives. There are many to choose from.
Well, what are some of the ones that stand out the most?
Well, a very common one is when somebody blows up at you. They blow their fuse and you're not expecting it, you're not prepared for it, and suddenly you're faced with this kind of raw anger or raw heat, and you have to figure out how to respond and respond when you were on your back foot, not prepared for the conversation.
Well, I remember once, you know, getting yelled at by somebody that I was so shocked that the person sort of took it to that level that I was a little bit stunned, and at the same time, I find myself wanting to match their same level of intensity, to show that I'm not weak, but I'm guessing that's not the right way to respond to a situation like that.
That's actually a terrible way to respond to the situation. It's very human, but it actually adds fuel to the fire. Then you're both raging. That you try to escalate. It escalates and escalates, and then suddenly what was, you know, X degree of heat is now X times 10 degree of heat, and nobody's going to have a productive conversation at that point.
But, you know, your heart is racing, and this person is maybe yelling at you. So what do you do? What are the steps to try and calm that person down and have the conversation that you need to have without it being so emotional?
Well, literally, if you can take a beat, pause for a second. Don't rush into a response. It's really good to try to center yourself. Just get your own emotions down if possible, which is difficult. But count to 10. Do whatever you need to do just to take 1 second so that you're not going to race back into that sort of angry place and start having a different conversation. That's the first thing. Pause if you possibly can. Zen out. And the second thing is that person is absolutely incapable of hearing you at the point where they're yelling at you. They need to say something and they're angry. So I would not even begin to try to actually respond to what they're saying. I would listen as best you can and communicate cues that you're hearing them. I hear you. Okay, let's talk about that. Okay, I understand what you're saying. Those kinds of things. Those things go a really long way because I know people just are not capable of having a conversation until they have gotten what they have to say out and feel heard when they're that mad. So the best you can do is let's try to diffuse that by letting them know you're not going to match it and you're listening.
So that works to actually just say, I hear you, because sometimes when people say, I hear you, that can also get them aggravated of it's more than just hearing. I want you to take action on whatever issue I'm bringing before you.
Well, you're at that moment, you're not trying to end the conversation. You're just trying to take the tension level down. One very effective thing to do, I've used it myself as a manager many times, is to, after they've said what they're going to say, is paraphrase back to them what you think you just heard. You're upset because we didn't consult you before the decision. You don't have to say sorry. You don't have to start to explain, but you paraphrase it back so they know you really did hear them, and then they can calm down, and then you can think about having the conversation.
So I guess this is one of those moments of showing emotional intelligence of you being the adult in the room and just, you know, taking it, but knowing that the bigger picture is that you're going to have a conversation down the road when the other person's a little more rational.
It's really hard to do. We're all human and we all get mad too, right? Maybe this anger is irrational and it's not fair and it's not justified or they're picking on us. Those things are really hard to do. And in the precise moment of hitting back, it might feel good, but it's going to feel worse very quickly after that. That relationship's going to be bad. That conversation's going to go badly. It's really important for you to do the best you can just to stand your ground calmly. Don't give in. Don't apologize. Think about what it is they're saying and then think about how you're going to respond.
Well, another conversation or issue that comes up at work sometimes is a decision is made that affects your job, but you were never included in the process. Maybe what you're going to do is changing or some sort of project you've been given, you were just told you're going to do it. How do you respond to those situations?
That's a tough one because you're an employee and probably a manager made the decision without consulting you. It wasn't a good managerial choice, but it may have been within his or her rights to do that. But there are constructive ways you can make that conversation be more productive for you without it looking like you're whining. I think that's really critical to not look like you're just responding with a complaint or a whine. Nobody wants to work with complainers or whiners. One strategy that I know works is to try to take a step back again. This is going to be a consistent theme. Don't respond in the moment of hearing that. Take a step back. See if you can isolate what you think is the problem with what happened in a manner that doesn't just affect you, meaning if they made a decision on how to put the team together and you weren't included or you were included or you were given work, the issue might not be at its smallest level it's about you, but it might be we need to train our junior people better. We need more people on the team so that we can all learn this knowledge, or it will be difficult for me to execute this part of the project if I'm not part of the brainstorming session. And I think that's true for Jane and Larry and Joe. However you can frame it as an organizational problem, we will all be better if we address this differently next time, is far more likely to have your manager's ear than just a complaint about whatever it was that happened to you.
And it sounds like you should be prepared to maybe get some feedback about your performance too, because maybe that informed the decision that was made.
Again, in that Zen place, always hard. It may be that there is something, there's a good reason why you weren't included in the decision, or the decision that affected you wasn't positive for you. It's always important to be open to hearing what it is that you could improve. You don't have to see it as a session to bash you, but you might ask the manager or whoever made the choice, can I ask you, I'd really like some feedback. Why was it that this happened this way? I'd like to improve my skills, or I'd like opportunities to learn, or what could I do to be in a better position so that I could have more control over the assignment, whatever it is, next time. I think that's really valuable. Most managers respond to it when it comes not from a place of anger, but from a place of, I want to grow, I want to be better. Give me honest feedback. I'm eager to hear it. I will take it as well as I can, and I'm going to try to be better next time.
I think that's one of the hardest things, because sometimes as an employee, decisions are made that don't make any sense to you. But if you were sitting in the meetings with managers and you were going through the entire thought process, it makes sense at the decision that's arrived at. But without that background information, it sometimes looks totally arbitrary and almost whimsical.
There usually are reasons that decisions are made. Not always, honestly. There are bad decisions made by managers. But if there was some thinking behind it, that means they're not going to want to have you come in and tear it apart. But if you come in a very constructive way, is here's how I think this could be done even better. I've been thinking about it. I understand why you made the decision, or I'd like to understand why you made the decision. But there are X, Y, and Z things I think we could do to make it better for the organization and give more people a chance to learn. If you really look like, I'm on the team, I get my place on the team, but I want the team to do well, here are my thoughts about how we could make it better. I think you'll find most people are receptive to that. Maybe not now. Maybe this project is done. That assignment's it's set in stone. It can't change. But the next time, your boss may consult you. You may have a choice of opportunities. They may ask you to help think about what's the right way to structure this or live with this decision. There's good in the long run if you have the courage, again, to calmly, constructively look for ways to understand and help make things better.
Well, let's take another example. Just the other day, I had to give a presentation about a project that I led. And, you know, many things went very well with the project, but there were some things that didn't. So here's something where you're having a conversation in a very public forum, and there's the possibility that you need to put some criticism out there. But, you know, it was a bit of a it was a little bit on thin ice. I didn't want to upset people, but at the same time, I didn't want to make it seem like everything went perfect. How do you have those kind of group conversations when you're putting out some criticism?
Well, I would not have the conversation for the first time in that group setting. If there was some criticism that you felt was important to air and could make things better, and it was valid and you as the leader wanted to make sure those things got talked about, I would approach the people who you think would be affected by that conversation privately in advance. Listen, we're going to have this group meeting. I really want to walk through candidly at a high level the things that went right and the things that we could do better next time. I'm going to mention X and Y. Is there anything else you think we should mention? Include them a little bit in the thinking and in the owning, and whatever you do, don't blindside them. It's just not fair to them. They may not agree with you wanting to put that decision out, but you'd rather have that conversation privately before you have it in front of a lot of people, and you'll look like a better leader. You know what? I'm not surprising people. I'm not throwing anyone under the bus. We've talked about this already. We have some thoughts about how we can improve it next time, but here are things that didn't go well that we'd like to work on for the next time we have this situation.
I don't think it's very surprising that people avoid difficult conversations, but I guess I'm wondering that if you decide to plunge into one, are you setting yourself up to be disappointed if you don't actually get what you think is a satisfactory resolution to whatever you're trying to fix or address or talk about?
Well, maybe. I mean, yes, that's a risk because you can't control everybody, and there are people who are jerks, or there are situations you can't control. That's life. But you're certainly not allowing something to fester, make it worse, right? We've all had something we haven't dealt with at work that just bugs us and then becomes escalated in our mind to like an insanely big point, and it's not even worth that level of sort of stress and anxiety that we've let it become, and it affects our own performance. That's the worst case scenario, is you avoid conflict, you don't get whatever it is resolved or solved or at least aired, and it bothers you to the point that your work is affected by it. I don't want to work with that person. I'm going to be petulant about assignments. I'm going to be difficult. I'm going to be silent in group meetings because I don't like how it goes. The worst case scenario is the only one that suffers is you. So the risk to me is worth taking. And honestly, sometimes you just feel better having had the courage to face it. And many, many times it's not going to go as badly as you think. This is a personal case, but there was a woman I was working with who I now really like and had a great relationship with. But
funny how that happens.
In the beginning of our working relationship, every time I would ask a question about some subject that she was more of an expert on than I was, I felt that she would dismiss it really quickly. Everybody knows that. Or, oh, you know, roll her eyes. Like, to me, what I was hearing is, you stupid person. Exactly. And it was bothering me a lot. Like, I don't want to be in a public meeting where someone who I'm trying to build a professional relationship is to me, making me feel like I look stupid in front of a group of people. So I worked up the courage to have a private conversation with her and say very calmly, I'm sure this isn't how you intend it, but let me tell you what happens when you say, everybody knows that, or, you know, very famous person, or whatever the reference is. You know, that makes me feel bad, and I don't then feel as open to coming forward and having conversation about your idea. I just want to be silent and not say anything, and I don't think that's good for anybody. And she was so surprised but so grateful, because what she explained to me was that she, in reality, was always feeling so excited about her ideas and passionate about her ideas that she didn't want anything to get in the way of that passion. So she saw it as advocacy for the idea, having nothing to do with me. And once I told her that and we had that conversation, it was like everything. We got to a good working relationship. We could have cues to each other. When I would say I don't understand something, she would, you know, say, explain it to me in a really interesting way. And we worked together really well after that. So having, you know, maybe dreaded having that conversation because it was kind of a dumb one, right? Like, I feel dumb when you say that. I was so glad that we were able to resolve it really quickly and amicably and continued to have a really good working relationship.
You're also lucky that she was willing to take that feedback and have a conversation with you about your perspective and her perspective and get to a better place.
Well, again, not everybody is, but I think you'd be surprised that more people, depending on how you do it. I did it in a very gentle way. It was a private conversation. It was something I would like to be able to work on so we could have a better working relationship. I didn't do it in an aggressive way. I did it in a, can we fix this? This is something you may not be aware of, but it's bothering me and I'd like to make it better.
So walk me through then some very specific things that you can do if you're trying to amp yourself up to go talk to somebody about an issue.
Again, so the first step, amp yourself up in private. Like, you step away from the situation if you possibly can.
Bad choice of words.
Collect your thoughts. Okay, well, whatever you need to do is don't try not to have the conversation at the moment of the anger. Try to walk away. The second thing is, you can think about what you want to say carefully, literally. What's the rational response to this? Work out, you might even do a couple of bullet points on a card. What are the points I want to make here? It should not be personal. You make me mad. That's never going to be constructive. And how can they respond to that? It might be, I was upset about that decision, or I don't understand why. That's different than making it personal to the person. A really important step, I think, is to have, if you have a trusted colleague or even someone at home, run through what you're going to say to the person with someone you trust first, both the situation and what your response is. Two things can happen that can be helpful. One is you practice and you're smoother, and they might point out, just stick with that one point. That's the big one. Or you're saying it too many things or too quickly, or you're making it too personal. They can help you perfect what you're going to say. But sometimes also, difficult though it is, they might say, you know what, I don't know if you're right. I think you're getting upset about something that's normal decision making, or I'm not sure this serves you to be complaining about this. If it's someone who you really trust, they can become kind of a trusted confidant in your strategy on this. Is this one worth the fight or not? Am I right in my perspective? Should I actually have the courage to go do this? And that can change what you decide to do in a way that's actually better for you in the long run.
Please tell me that the more you have these conversations, the better you get at having them and the better they go.
Absolutely. It's a skill like anything else, right? If you start, if you practice both in private and in the real situations in your life, you build the muscle to do that. And the muscle is not just knowing how to respond unemotionally, or not that you can't be human, but you can't be high emotion, to respond clearly, making your points clearly, again, not keeping it personal. But I think the biggest thing that happens over time is that it doesn't become so personal to you, and it probably thus doesn't feel so personal to the other person. You realize this is just about having a strategy for disagreements at work, like any other kind of strategy you would need in your professional life. I think you'll find that many people who rise to the top are there because they don't avoid conflict. They're seen as people who can handle conflict in a constructive way and get to the other side without making enemies along the way. That's a really good skill to have, and I think the more you do it, the better you'll get. And the better you get, the better your career is going to be as a result of that.
Well, that was the final question I was going to ask, which is, what's the end goal? I mean, what's the thing that you're hoping to accomplish here, at least from a workplace productiveness, effectiveness point of view?
Well, there are several things. Most of us should. You should only be in a job that you like going to work. You should be in a job that you like going to. And the biggest factor in whether you like your job or not is often your colleagues. The work itself is important, but who you work with. Do you enjoy being around them every day? Do you feel energized by them? Do you feel respected? If you start looking at people around you as negatives, as obstacles, people I want to avoid, something about your own workday is going to become smaller and less happy. That's really important. You want a constructive workplace where you like being with people and you like working together with people. That's one thing. The second thing is it's going to be better for your career. If you become skilled at dealing with conflict in a constructive way, people will trust you to do more and more things. They'll invite you into those projects that you might not have got invited in the first place. They'll give you tricky assignments to navigate because they'll see you as a leader, not just a person who's kind of reactive in every difficult situation. I think it's really healthy emotionally, and it's really good for your career if you can get better at navigating difficult conversations.
Karen Dillon is the former editor of the Harvard Business Review and is also the author of the HBR Guide to Office Politics. Karen, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And if you like these conversations with executive coaches and authors for the Harvard Business Review about surviving the workplace, we've got a lot more like this at our website, moneytalking.org. And at iTunes, just subscribe to the podcast, Money Talking. And while you're there, give us a review. It really helps get the word out to more people. I tweet at Charlie Herman, and let me know what kind of workplace topics you'd like covered. Thanks so much for listening. This is Money Talking from WNYC.